Can be seated. Well, it's good to be back tonight. This morning I talked a little bit on faith. Didn't get finished with what I wanted to say, but we did talk about it a little bit. A few other things I'd like to have said. Maybe I'll get to say some tonight, I don't know. Still hoarse from trying to preach a little. Thinking on the goodness of God today, talking to the Lord a little bit about some spiritual things, things that have such great benefit. You know, spiritual things is the only thing that's worthwhile. By all means, God wants us to do something for Him, folks. And when we lean to our own understanding, we usually, as a rule, get into trouble. Always we get into trouble when we lean to our own understanding. So then we need to think about that and try to follow the leadership of the Lord. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And of course, we like to be led by the Spirit of God seemingly when it's convenient for us. And should it not be convenient for us as to our desire and personal ambition, seems like they were careless sometimes and we don't care about being led by the Spirit of God. But you know, God wants somebody that can be led by the Spirit of God all the time. And that way He can use us. When we're led by the Spirit of God all the time, then God can use us all the time. When we're led by the Spirit of God part of the time, then God uses us part of the time. So I want to be led by the Spirit of God all the time. I try every day of my life to follow Christ, and I ask Him to lead me by His Spirit so that I can do the wonderful things that God wants me to do. It's exciting to me to be led by the Spirit. The prophets of old was led by the Spirit of God. It was so exciting because they were always doing great, wonderful things that made the kingdom of God outstanding in the earth, and it made men look toward God. You know, people, a lot of people in the day that we're living in, they don't know the seriousness of serving God. And they don't know what it means to deal with a living God that could just blow you away with His breath. And they don't understand the seriousness of reading His word when He says something. You know, the President of the United States is a very small figure, comparatively speaking, when you talk about Almighty God. And yet, with His authority, should He send word down here that we should do a certain way or else, it would sure make people stop and think. But just think, the word of the Almighty God is given into the hands of men. And the Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And God has spokesmen in the earth. And God has real, genuine sons and daughters of God, real people in the earth that know about God and that love God and realize the terribleness of serving God. How frightful it is just to think that you might do something to displease God when God can just take you like someone would a little ant and just, you know, touch you and you're no more. But to think that we have the opportunity of studying God's word, of understanding God's word, of loving God, and realizing the seriousness of His great commandment. We have the privilege of being the people of God and following after God and being led of God. So it's exciting to me to be a Christian. And while others revel around in their minds, you know, and they're so carried away with their own physique and their own exciting programs, and when they look in the mirror and they see somebody staring back, they just, you know, they just worship Satan when they look in there at themselves. You know, more people worship the devil by looking in the mirror, perhaps, than anything else. And when they look in there, they just worship themselves. They just find themselves so nice looking and so handsome and so beautiful, and they pamper with their face, and they twist the curls in their hair, and they just, you know, and they Not realizing that the devil savors the things that be of the flesh, and that it's the devil in their flesh that's admiring himself, they get caught in the trap of the world. But it's so good to have people that come to church that don't get caught in that trap. People that come to church that think about Jesus, that enter into the courts of God with praise and thanksgiving, that comes through the gates of God, filled with the love of God and with the enthusiasm of God, that's concerned about Christ and not about the flesh and the things of the flesh. I just had to say that to snap two or three people to attention. Hard to believe that in the sanctuary you find that, but I noticed a number of people come in tonight and they were just carried away with themselves. And I thought maybe if I might say something, they might simmer down and get carried away with Jesus. And that way we'd have a cleaner, better atmosphere. And I know you don't like that, but I said it anyway, didn't I? So then, I'm thankful tonight to have some that does come into the sanctuary, enthused over Christ and the things of Christ. You know, it really kills the ego of the flesh if you just put it down a little bit. It just kills it. And some, they'll draw up and they're so ashamed. And others, they'll just laugh and say, praise the Lord. The hypocrite will go right on worse than anybody in the whole sanctuary. You know, I never let nobody know that it's them. But anyway, I thank God for those that's repentive and those that realize those spirits have a hold of them and those things have a hold of them. And they'll shake it off and be ashamed. And maybe the ones that laugh and go on like it's not them at all, maybe they'll change too if we keep on praying and preaching. You love the Lord? Say, why do you do those things, Brother Pike? Well, the Bible said not to give place to the devil. And we're trying not to give place to the devil. We cut him off before we get started. I remember having a service here one night. We had this place just filled up. And as we say, just about running over. I mean, we had it filled up. And there was a preacher come here, and he was just going to preach. My, he was going to preach. He had done been to the beauty parlor and had his hair curled and have everything. Everything was just so, and me and him had been friends in the past, you know. And he just had everything just set up. He just knew that night he was going to preach. And that night instead I preached. Hadn't had a chance to get my hair curled or nothing. Didn't have much to curl. And I preached that night, and I preached against pretty boys. And I preached against the lust of the flesh. And you know he ain't never been back no more. I never did call his name. I never did say nothing about him. I never did point him out. But somehow or another, he never did come back no more. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You know, I thank God for fine-looking people. And I think God's people are fine-looking people, some of the finest-looking people in the world. And I thank God for real intelligent people. And of course, God's people are the most intelligent people in the world. But I despise the flesh and the things of the flesh. And I despise pretty boys and pretty girls. You know, that's always just eat up with lust and with devils and demons that can't come to the house of God or can't be around your wife or can't be around your husband or your families, you know, without just the whole time they're there, you're just miserable because you feel devils just crawling on them like ants on honey. But I thank the Lord for people that do love the Lord and that are the right kind of people. And of course, we've got some of both kinds at Bethlehem. We got some real good ones at Bethlehem, and we've got some that has come in and out here that just has devils crawling on them like ain't on honey. And we try to deal with it the best that we know how. We want a good sound harvest, a good sound people. I got a man sitting here that all of his life he's felt like he was real handsome. And he feels like he just affects people so much that he keeps it on his mind until devils and demons just talk to his mind all the time and makes him so miserable in church that it's hard for me to minister to him. That's bad, isn't it? That's real bad. But you know, somebody said, how can I get around that, brother? By just getting born again, that's all. Just getting born again. I like good, down-to-earth, common people and people that want to be holy and clean and people that don't make you miserable. These kind of people make me miserable. I get up here to try to preach You know, and I get miserable. How do you know that Lot down in Sodom and Gomorrah was actually vexed with their filthy conversation? He never did find any happiness till God just took him out of that place. So when you come in here, folks, try to come in with a little different mind. You know, enter into his courts and his gates with thanksgiving and praise. And put your mind on the Lord and come in with Jesus on your mind. And come in praising the Lord, because you never know when God will call you. Whether young or old, you never know. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Brother Osborne. He's been trying to get in touch with me for the last few days. And I was talking to Brother Osborne over in the evening. And he was telling me that he's coming up next week. His wife, just a young woman, fine-looking couple. But she came here for a time or two, if you remember. And felt to move up into this area, but somehow they didn't move up into this area. And whether right or wrong, Brother Osborne told me, he said, I feel like I made a great mistake, Brother Pike, by not moving into the area, and his wife died. Called me today and was talking to me, and he's still having problems because they're trying to take his children away from him. And it's really bad. You know, folks, a lot of times I see things coming. A lot of times I see things in couples' lives and I see things in people's lives, and I try to do my very best to talk to them and to warn them because I see it coming. But nevertheless, people are overconfident, and because they're overconfident in their ability, then they don't listen and they don't heed. And then, of course, they reap great sorrow because they don't do it. When it would be so easy if a person would just listen, if a person would just take heed to themselves and listen to the Word of God, it'd be so easy for them to find their way and not go through the heartaches and the sorrows that they have to go through, in that they don't acknowledge the correction of Christ or the tutoring of the Word of God. So then, I say these things not because I'm upset at you, not because Brother Pike doesn't love you, it's not because I don't appreciate you, but I just say these things in the way of exhortation, that you might stop and think that you're entering into the house of Almighty God, you're coming into the gates and into the courts of Almighty God, and you're going to hear the word of Almighty God. And the Bible said, "Who will I look to? He that trembleth at my words." We should be trembling right now. When the Word of God comes forth, if we've got anything at all from Christ, we should be trembling. Or if we recognize the awesomeness of the great approach of God, we should be trembling. He that trembleth at my words. So, the Word of Almighty God, you don't realize what it is. You don't realize how terrible it is to fall into the hands of a living God. You don't realize how awful it is to be turned into the flames of a lake of fire. You don't realize it, folks, because we're living in a superficial world. Too much television, too much fiction, too much stuff that's not real. And in that it's not real, then you are not real, you're fictitious. And because of that, you get yourself into a condition to where you don't have reality. So then you don't know the terribleness that there is in transgressing the Word of God, or not listening to the Word of God, or concerning the things of God. So when we come into His presence, the Bible said, be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of foods. When we come into the presence of God, we should come in with great reverence and great respect, knowing that we are in the presence of Almighty God. And even when the minister begins to speak, once he begins to talk about the Word of God, we should be very careful. And the Bible said, give the earnest heed, even the more earnest heed, to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And then the Bible tells us to take heed how that we hear. Take heed how that we hear, so that Satan doesn't misconstrue the things to our mind. When we come in, the Bible said, study to be quiet, to listen, and to know how to behave yourself in the house of the living God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. So when you come into the house of God, come with great reverence and great respect. Because when the minister begins to talk of the word and get under the word, the anointing, then it is not him speaking, but it is God that's speaking. And you're sitting in the presence of God, and the Bible said they shall all be taught of God. So then God begins to speak. And then that's the great, terrible moment as to whether we give more heed, or whether we just look around, or whether we just talk, or whether we have our minds way out somewhere on something else. That is the great moment of crisis right there if we don't pay attention. So we're back here tonight as to talk with you just a little bit concerning the things of God. I told my wife today, it's real shocking. I went over to the singing last night. I don't believe in going to singings because it's just a bunch of foolishness and a bunch of junk, even though sometimes they do sing a few good songs and some groups come in and there's some anointing. But last night it was just one group, and that was the group that I could say something to and reprove, and so we did, and it turned out well. But I noticed this morning when I came into service, and I made mention of this to my wife, I came into the service and I noticed people that was wide awake and full of zeal and zip. They were at the singing last night, but they did not come to church this morning. And I also noticed that even tonight, as of now, so far, that some of them that was full of zip to go to the singing, and both singing, they've been to them, but they haven't had the zip to come to church. And yet they're supposed to be outstanding people of God. You know what it is? A lot of folks don't like the way Brother Pike says these things, but the Bible said we use great plainness of speech, rude in speech, but not in knowledge. You know what's wrong with them people? They just need to be born again, that's all. They just haven't got the goods. That's what it is. And they're more interested in the world and the things of the world than they are God. And God will eventually let them go their way and do their own thing. Because it isn't just the singing that keeps them away. I noticed that those same people a lot of times don't frequent church anyway. But I thank God for them that love the Lord, whether they go to a singing or whether they don't go to a singing. They love the Lord enough that they come to the house of God and they come to hear the wonderful words of Christ Jesus. I thank the Lord for you tonight. I appreciate every one of you. I'm real hoarse. And it makes it kind of difficult to be able to talk with you the way I'd like to talk with you. But anyway, we thank the Lord for you. So many wonderful things about faith until it's just such an exciting experience until you could talk from now until Jesus comes and still have something glorious to talk about even after he got here. So I get excited over the things of God and I get excited over faith. And I love to talk about it. I'd like to take our Bibles again tonight, not prolong the service. Move over into St. Mark, once again, the 11th chapter of St. Mark, I believe it is. And I'd like to read a little bit from it. I dwelt quite a bit on holiness and why that I believe in holiness. And I believe that any sober-minded person that was here this morning that listened as to my explanation and defense concerning holiness, I think that they would say, Brother Pike, that's exactly right. Without holiness, you really don't have anything. And so then, as I spoke about holiness, I made my defense as to holiness because I think it's the most wonderful thing that there is. If there's anything more wonderful than God, I'm not acquainted with it. And God is the spirit of holiness. So then, as pertaining to holiness, I feel that a person that does not have holiness in their heart, or a person that does not have holiness in the church, they don't have any Christianity. They don't have any church. A person that doesn't preach holiness in their church, they don't have a church. All they have is a building and a gathering of people. Because the Bible said that God is the Spirit of holiness. And when we gather together the name of God Almighty, then he said, I am in the midst. And if God isn't in the midst, that means there's no holiness there. And if there's no holiness there, that means God isn't there. And if God isn't there, that means you don't have a church, you just have a gathering. So that's why that we preach the way we did concerning the Spirit of holiness. And that's why we do preach the way we do concerning the Spirit of holiness. I believe that you got to be holy, folks. The Bible said, be holy, for I'm holy. And God wants us to be holy. He doesn't want us to be unholy. He doesn't want us to be just church members, but he wants us to be holy. And we've got to be holy because he is holy. All right, let's just talk just a little bit from the 11th chapter of Mark. I want to read it again now. The 20th verse of the 11th chapter. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus, answering, saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So then the theme in the 22nd verse is have faith in God. Have faith in God. I like that. Have faith in God. And I said this morning that a lot of people will say, well, Brother Pike, I've got faith. Or that is, they will say, I believe. But on the other hand, when you try to find out what they believe, it may be heresy. It may be old wives' fables. It might be some religious indoctrination that's been passed down to them from family. Or it could be something that was just wild and unbelievable. I've heard all kinds of things. I've heard people that believed in one God. I've heard people that believed in two gods. I've heard people that believed in three gods. And I've heard people that just believed in all kind of gods. You ever heard people like that? I've heard people that believe in all kind of gods. They just have all kind of gods. So then, it is very difficult in the day that we're living in to be sure what people believe and to be sure what's right. So then it means that we need to get in touch with God and we need to have some kind of understanding as to what we do believe. We need to know something about our origin, as to where we came from, and know something about who we are, and know something about where we're going. Jesus one time, he said, who do men say that I am? So then, it's good for us to kind of understand who we are. Somebody would say, well, I know who you are. I know that fella, Taylor. I know him. That's Frank Taylor. Well, I don't know whether you do or not. I'm not sure whether you do or not. See, the Bible tells us not to know any man after the flesh. So then if I know Brother Frank, as we say, after the flesh, then I know Frank Taylor. But if there's anything outside of that, it might be said, who do men say that he is? See, because there is something else that perhaps you don't know. There were some other names that James and John had. And there was another name that Paul had. And there is another name that Jesus has. Do you hear what I said? Somebody was saying, wait a minute, Brother Pike, I can't believe that. The Bible definitely teaches against that. You've never read any Bible against that. You don't know of any scripture that you can quote against that. There's not one word that you can say against that. I said, and Jesus has another name. Jesus has another name. And somebody would say, Brother Pike, the Bible definitely and emphatically states that there is none other name. You never read that in the Bible, because that's not what the Bible says. So then Jesus said, who do they say that I am, Peter? Who do men say that I am? The Bible does say that there's none other name given among men whereby ye should be saved. Or there is none other name in which there is salvation. And that lovely name, Jesus, of course, is the Father's name. I know we don't like to acknowledge that. There's people that say, wait a minute, I can't go down that trail, Brother Pike. But nevertheless, the Bible said there's salvation in none other name. And Jesus said, Father, I've kept them in thy name. And the Father said, Son, because you've done that, then I'm going to give you another name that no one knows except you and to whomsoever you reveal it. So then there's wonderful things to be searched out, folks. And there's exciting things to learn about. Great, wonderful, exciting things perhaps that you don't know. Things that perhaps you never was taught in your indoctrination. So then there is things that the Holy Spirit would have us to know. And there's things He would have us to tell you. We spoke on a few things the other night. We asked a few questions. I didn't go too far with asking questions, but I could tell in about, well, within a few minutes, I asked about 5 different questions. And I could tell within that few minutes that numbers of people was baffled and didn't know how to answer. Maybe there was some that did know how to answer, but the majority of the people was baffled and didn't know how to answer. Because even though they were so sure that they understood, when it came right down to understanding it, they did not understand, and some of them perhaps that did have some enlightenment didn't know what to do with the scripture or where to go. And that's the case with the world today. Unless Christ is speaking to you, unless Christ tells you, then you don't know where to go. You might go to college, you might stay there for a number of years, and you might leave college thinking that you really know something. You might go to your room and you might read the Bible through and through and through and through and through and through. And then when you finish, think that you know something. But unless God revelates something to you or God reveals something to you, you don't know any more after you read the Bible than you did before you read the Bible. As a matter of fact, you'd been better off if you hadn't read the Bible. Because what you do come to understand is just enough to indict you and bring you into the judgment of God and cause you to be in a precarious place as to being judged as one that has transgressed the Word of God. So then it takes Christ, and if you don't have Christ, you don't have anything. If you don't know God, you don't know anything about the Bible. The Bible said that the Scriptures are of no private interpretation. They were written as men were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they must be interpreted the same way. You know, I speak of this a lot of times back in the Old Testament. The Philistines, they took the Ark of the Covenant, and they thought they knew what to do, and they thought they were intelligent, and they were going to set them up a form of worship, and they saw what great things that God had done for the Israelites, and so they decided they were going to cash in on it. So then they got the covenant, and they took the covenant, and they decided that they was going to have them a big ball with it, you know. They was going to have them a big time, like the world of today. We're going to take the Bible, and we're going to set up a college, and we're going to teach men, and we're going to hatch off our preachers, and we're going to have ourselves a ball, and we're going to take the monopoly over this just like we have everything else. You know, you get to be a barber. Used to, you just go out and learn how to cut hair, and you was a barber. And you could set you up a barber shop, but now they've got to run you through the school. And if you don't come by their way, then you're not considered a barber. And the same way with everything else, you know, in the world today, they put you under their little ecclesiastical program, and you've got to measure up to it. And they decided, as the Philistines, they've decided in this day that they're going to do the same thing. that they're going to take religion and do the same thing with religion that they've done with everything else. Back in the Old Testament, the Bible said that when the Philistines did this, that instead of this thing working in their behalf, that it worked in reverse. And instead of blessing, it brought a curse upon them. Instead of God favoring them, God hated them because of their evil doings. And it wasn't long before they learned that you couldn't do that with the Ark of the Covenant. And that's what people are learning today. The religious groups and people around the world today are learning that you can't read the Bible and you can't set up colleges and you can't hatch all preachers and you can't put private interpretation to God's Word. And the further we go down the trail, the more they're going to learn that God isn't going to put up with their foolishness and God's going to burn their fields and God's going to plow their fields for their foolishness of trying to tell people how to live when they don't know how to live themselves. We got a bunch of reprobates in the world today, denominational reprobates that don't know God and don't know how to live. And the Bible said, while they promise others liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of that which a man is overcome by, he is subject to servitude, or he is servant of that one thing. And so then we've got preachers running from coast to coast that don't know the Word of God and don't understand the Word of God and haven't taken long enough to talk to God to find out what the Word of God has to say. And this is the thing that's so disturbing to God, and this is the thing that's causing so much trouble in the religious world of today. It's causing people to become proselytes by the tens of thousands, and it's causing the wrath of God to come. And God's begin to slaughter people just by the hundreds and millions across the world because of the foolishness of their doings. So what we need to do is get back to God and get back to the Word of God. Take the Word of God and study to show ourselves approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And at the same time, ask God to help us. Joshua said, Lord, don't let me go to battle unless thy presence go before me. The other writers spoke of it. God, let your presence be with me. When I go to battle, let your presence be with me. If I go to do anything, let your presence be with me. And if I speak, let me speak as the oracle of God. And let me have the right motive. And let me do this thing according to godliness. And let me do it in your behalf, God. Don't let me be half in and half out. Don't let me be hypocritical. Don't let me have personal motives. Don't let me lord over God's heritage, but God, let me do it as unto thee and do it for thy cause and do it for thy purpose. And God, let your presence be with me. Let it be unto edifying. Let all things be done unto edifying. And let us understand the lovely word of God and the wonderful ways of Jesus. So then this morning we talked about faith, and my wife was telling me that some sister said that she'd always wondered why that she could not get an answer to prayer, and said after the message this morning, she says, I know why. And so then we spoke this morning of not casting away your faith, because your faith hath great recompense of reward. God has given you faith, and God doesn't want you to throw your faith away. God doesn't want you to say within your heart that you have no faith. Jesus asked him on the boat, he said, where is your faith? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, when the storm was raging and the little boat was tossed to and fro, then Christ stepped out and reproved him and said, see here, you have no faith. That's what's wrong with you. But he didn't say that. When he stepped out on board the boat, he didn't say that you don't have any faith, did he? He said, where is your faith? He didn't say a thing about not having faith. He just wanted to know what they'd done with it. Isn't that right? He wanted to know what they'd done with it. When he told the man he'd be coming healed, he said, don't doubt. Don't be afraid. Just believe, that's all. Don't be afraid. He said, have faith. But you must have faith in God. Have faith in God. We read it to you here. Have faith in God. God wants you to have faith. And you know, I ask myself the question sometimes, or I have in the past, I don't know, I know better than that. But I've asked myself the question, I'd say, within my heart, I'd say, God, why is it that I have to have faith? Why is it? What is this thing called faith? Why do I have to have faith, God? You said, I belong to you. I'm a child of God. And you know that I have a need. Why do I go through all this routine, as it seems, to have faith? If I went to my father and asked my father for something, if he was living, if he had it, he wouldn't put me through routine. He'd just say, here, son, here it is. Or he'd say, no, I don't have it. And I've asked God the question. I'd say, Lord, why is it that we have to go through all of this thing about trying to believe? If you love us the way that you say that you love us, and if we're the apple of your eye, and you think as much of us as you say that you think of us, why put us through all of this routine of trying to believe? Why don't you just say, yes, I'll let you have it, or no, I won't let you have it? And you know, that's the way it was with me. I just didn't understand. I couldn't figure it out. For a number of years, I couldn't figure it out. I'd read the Bible through. I've been through the Bible numbers of times. Been through the New Testament many times. But see, it just didn't add up to me. I just couldn't figure the thing out. And that's what's wrong with you today. See, you can't figure the thing out. I said, God, I just can't figure the thing out. And then when I began to call on God and ask God to help me, God revealed it to me. See, God has hid these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and God has made it revelation unto babes such as are willing to learn. And I said, God, I can't figure the thing out. What am I going to do? And God said, I'll reveal it to you. And I said, well, Lord, I'm just going to sit by until you tell me something about it. I've done all I know to do. And God, you're going to have to tell me something about it, because I just don't understand it. I thought, to me, it seemed simple. All you got to do is just give what you want to give to the ones that are worthy, and the ones that are not worthy, just put them out and say, no, I'm not going to give it to you. And you know how God answered me back? God answered me back like this, said, well, son, said, who's worthy? And I thought, oh my God. When I got to thinking on that, I thought, oh my God, I think I'm beginning to see something. I think I'm beginning to see why that you have to go another route. See, he said, what if I did do that? What if I did say, I'll just give it to those that are worthy? He said, then who is worthy? I thought, oh my God, I don't know. I thought, I'm not worthy. And then I tried to think of others that was worthy, and I thought, well, they're not worthy. And I thought, well, no wonder you've got to go round about this thing, you know, in this way. I thought, Lord, there's something that I don't see. There's something that I don't understand. I felt like all you have to do was just say, here, Brother Pike, here it is. You're my son, and I love you, and you love me, and this is what you want, and I want you to have it, and here it is. See, but I found out there's a whole lot more to it, folks, than that. There's a reason why God requires faith. There's a reason why that he says you must believe. There's no other way God can do it unless you believe. You must believe. I begin to understand God better. And I begin to see that there's no possible way that God could do it except through faith. And as God began to talk to me, he said, son, I want to give it to the ones that are worthy. He said, and I intend to give it to the ones that are worthy. And he said, and the ones that are not worthy, he said, I'm not going to give it to. But he said, how then can you be worthy? And I thought, well, Lord, I don't know but one way to be worthy. And that is I must accept the Lord Jesus Christ. I must accept his righteousness. I must accept what he said about me. I must accept what the scripture holds as to my welfare. I must believe. And then I come to it. I thought, oh my God, I must believe. That's what it is. I must believe. I must believe. How then am I worthy? And God spoke to me and said, son, I purify the heart by faith. And this is the way you become worthy, is by faith in the righteousness of the Son of God. By believing in what I did for you at Calvary, and through the sacrifice of the human body of my own Son, I have made you worthy. But to be partakers of this benefit, you've got to believe in what he did for you. You've got to believe in Calvary. You've got to believe in Christ. You've got to believe the word of God. And by this, my spirit will come into your heart. And my spirit will purify your heart. For I purify the heart by faith. And then when you're pure in heart, the pure shall be worthy. The pure shall see God. And he said, there's no one that can see God and live. Therefore, you must die to be able to see me. And I thought, well, how can I die, Lord? If I die, then I'm no more. But the Bible said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I'm dead to the world, but the body of the Lord Jesus, and the world is dead to me. So he said, being dead with the body of the Lord Jesus, in that you believe in Calvary, you're baptized for the dead. And then when you're baptized for the dead, you're not alive anymore. That's why I say that you can't know Brother Taylor and Brother Frank Taylor. You can't know an individual as a natural person, because that person is dead and that person is buried and that person is no more. So then, I have been baptized for the dead. And I said, in that I am dead to the world and the world is dead to me, then I can see God. Then I can see the revelation. And what is God? God is a revelation. God is a spiritual revelation. And the Bible said that flesh and blood, your intellectual ability, he said, will never find God. It will never define God. You'll never know God through your intellectual reasoning, through the colleges, through the school, through all of your endeavors, through your fleshly activity, through your fasting, through your prayer. You will never know God, because none of that has anything to do with God. But by faith in the works of the Son of God, the finished works of the Son of God, by faith in the Word of God, by the faith that God has placed within our heart concerning Christ, then are we purified, then and there are we numbered with Christ as one who has been baptized for the dead. And it is then and there that our eyes come open. It is when we see the great light as Paul did that things begin to happen to us. And you have to become blind to this world and cut off from this world that you might be wise in God. You have to become a fool to this world that you might see and understand the things of Christ. And so then Paul, becoming blind with the great light, found that the great light, when he come to understand it, was not seen with natural eyes, but that it was seen through the eyes of his understanding, and that light caused him to be able to comprehend things that he'd never thought about before. He began to comprehend things that he never knew about before. And he began to move into different depths of the righteousness of Christ and into greater heights with God. That's why this thing is so exciting. It is because we are transforming from glory to glory, and we're moving into a great spiritual place with God. And these people that's running around studying the Bible, trying to quote the Bible or prove somebody has misquoted the Bible, they are nothing but thorns in your flesh. These people that are going about trying to establish their ability as some great preacher or as some great person by fasting, they are nothing but thorns in your flesh. Jesus told him in the days of the Hebrews, in the days of Israel, he said, it's my righteousness. The man said, but I fast. I fast and I tithe. God said, I could care less, as we would say in modern day language or English. I could care less about your fasting and tithing. I'm not interested in that. I am interested in the death of my Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm interested as to how much you care about my righteousness which is in Christ. And the man that stood there and beat upon his chest, he said, I need help. I'm a sinner. I don't have any hope. And the Bible said that man, believing in the righteousness of God and trusting in God's ability to save him, went down to his house justified, rather than the other, because he had accepted the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I think one of the biggest problems of today is some of the Pentecostal churches. They've got so self-righteous in the past until it got to where God didn't even have any place among them. Like Israel. Israel was called holiness unto the Lord. But Israel got so self-righteous until they finally closed God out. They got so self-righteous that they didn't just close the people out and close the nations out, but they literally closed God out. And when God came, they wouldn't even let him in. And the Bible says in the book of Solomon that he's knocking at the door. He's standing knocking at the door saying, "Will you let me in? Will you let me in?" And the Bible said the drops of the night being in his locks, he was trying to get in, having shut God out. Some of you people are so religious that you've actually shut God out of your heart. You've been so Pentecostal, you've been such a religious folks until you've actually cut God out of your heart. See, the Baptists, the Methodists, a lot of them, the Catholics, they through formality cut God out. They have such ritualistics and such plans, and the zeal of their house is literally eating God up. God doesn't have any place among them because of their intellectual desire and their intellectual ability. But not only have they done it, the Pentecostals have done the same thing. That's why God has allowed the Pentecostals to fall from their state of holiness the way that he has. Today, Pentecostal women run around in shorts. Pentecostal men, you can't get them away from the television and the ball games. And they're more interested in eating and parties and selling and buying and fellowshipping and dinners and whatever than there are in God. Years ago, it wasn't that way. Years ago, they might come together at the church and they might eat because many of them live miles from the church. And they'd have to come over to the church with the horse and with the buggy or with the old wagon. And they'd bring their lunch and they'd bring their dinners. And out of necessity, they would have to gather together and they'd have to eat. But then when they finished their meals, they would go down into the woods and they would pray until the service was ready that night. Or maybe before the lunch, they would go pray until they prepared the lunch. See, they came together in holiness. And they came together with a purpose. And they came together to worship and to love God. But today it's ritualistics, it's formality. Everybody brings their dinner. Everybody gets together. They have an all-day eating. They say we're going to have an all-day worship, but they have an all-day eating. And all they do is eat, laugh, and talk, and visit, and that's all that it amounts to. But folks, we need to get back to holiness. We need to get back to believing God. I said this morning that it takes more than just believing. You've got to have something to inspire your faith. One thing that we've got to remember is this. I can believe all that I want to believe. But if I don't have something to inspire my faith and to bring my faith to life, it isn't going to do me any good at all. So then, I believe. But I need something to inspire my faith. The writer says, faith without works is dead. He said, even as the body without the spirit is dead, so then faith without works is dead. I can believe all I want to believe, but I've got to have Christ's spirit on the inside. I've got to have something to quicken this thing to me. I've got to have something to stimulate my faith. I've got to have a vision. I've got to have some kind of prayer life, some kind of fasting. I've got to have some kind of giving, some kind of frequenting God's house, studying God's word, and coming together with God's people to have a vision. I've got to have something in my heart is the world evangelism and sharing with the poor and sharing with the hungry. I've got to have something to inspire my faith, to bring my faith to life, if I'm ever going to have faith in God and that kind of faith that's going to do me any good. That's why that I said today, it takes the spirit of holiness. It takes the spirit of holiness. You've got to have the spirit of holiness. God is the spirit of holiness. God is the word. And the word is the spirit of holiness. And it takes the word of holiness, God's spirit of holiness, to be able to open the blind eye and unstop the deaf ear. For he sent his spirit of holiness and healed them. He sent his spirit of holiness, and by his spirit of holiness, which was his word, he cast out the unclean spirits. And the church world today is in trouble because the spirit of virtue, the spirit of holiness, is not in them. They've left their steadfastness. They've done away with the praying, and they've done away with seeking God. They've done away with living right. And you know, you can preach all you want to. You can fast all you want to. You can pray all you want to. But if you don't walk right, if you don't get lust out of your life, if you don't get gossiping and backbiting out of your life, if you don't get that greedy, gullible desire out of your life, that thing that makes you want money and confidence and convenience, if you don't kill out the flesh, all of your efforts are in vain. I said this morning, even though Jesus went into the wilderness to fast, that wasn't his purpose. He actually fasted in the wilderness, but he didn't go there to fast. He went there to conquer the flesh. He went there to conquer the devil. And you know, when you conquer your flesh, just one person, your flesh, then you'll have power over all the rest of it. Jesus said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast given me power over all flesh. And when you conquer your flesh, when you conquer your flesh and everything that the devil brings upon you, then you have power over it when you meet it in somebody else. You know, I've asked God the question a lot of times. I've said, Lord, why do you let so many things come upon me? I said, I don't shake one thing off until there's another thing. If it's not a financial problem, it's a physical conflict. And I said, it seems like all the time there's something just continually coming upon me. And I said, why is it, oh God, that you let these things with a regularity come upon me? And God said, it is to conquer. Conquer. I want you to conquer. Everything that I let come upon you, I want you to conquer it. He said, and as you've conquered it, you'll become a great, mighty, conquering God. And when you conquer it in your flesh and in your body, you'll have it conquered in somebody else's flesh. And you'll be able to overcome it in somebody else's flesh. And you'll be a master in God when you go to preach the gospel, when you go to pray the prayer of faith, when you go to take the gospel to all the world, you'll be a master in Christ. And you'll be able to triumph over devils and demons, and devils and demons won't have any power over you. He said, don't grow weary in well-doing. He said, don't yield your faith and give up your faith that hath great recompense of reward. Don't cast it away, he said. But he said, pray. He said, believe. He said, stay with it until you master the situation. If you get a contrary devil that just won't turn it loose, stay there anyway until you can conquer the thing and get rid of it. And then you walk out as a master in Christ. You walk out like Christ did when the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. Christ came out of the wilderness. He came in the power of the Spirit. When he walked up to somebody and he saw a devil aggravating somebody, he just took control of that devil and told that devil to depart. And the Bible said, never man spake like that man, for his words were with power. For it said, with authority he commanded the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Folks, this is what we need in the church. Why did Christ do that? Why was he able to do that? I said this morning, the Bible said to make straight paths for yourself, lest that which is lame be turned aside, but rather let it be healed. So then, as long as I don't make a straight path for myself, I don't have the virtue of God. I'm not that elect lady whose price is far beyond that of rubies. Unless I can walk straight with God, unless I can keep gossip out of my mind, keep lust out of my mind, keep covetousness out of my mind, keep greediness out of my mind, gullibleness out of my mind. Unless I can keep my physique out of my mind, keep myself out of my mind, keep my desires out of my mind, I'm not making any progress with God. Anytime I've got my mind on me, or I've got my mind on lust, or I've got my mind on making money, if I've got my mind on some kind of a business, or I've got my mind on something of the world, then that means that at that time, I'm not serving God. The Bible said you serve God with the mind. You serve God with your mind, and your mind is not your brain, and your mind is not in your head. Your mind is in your heart. You serve God with your mind. And the Bible said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It takes your heart to be able to believe unto righteousness. You've got to have your mind made up. You've got to have your mind stirred up. David said, stirring up the pure mind, which is the mind of Christ that is within you. You've got to have your mind made up. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to be a master for God, if you're going to be able to do anything for God, you've got to have your mind made up. You've got to get right in your heart, because the mind is in the heart. And with the heart man thinketh, and as man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So then, the Bible teaches that it is the mind, that we serve God with the mind. Faith comes in the mind. That's why the Bible said, cast down every thought, every imagination, and all of the high things that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Folks, as long as you're thinking on lust, as long as you're thinking on the things of the world, as long as your mind is that of the world, you're never going to excel in God. You're never going to do anything for God. You're never going to have faith in God. You can go on thinking that just because you're who you are, that God's going to overlook it, and that someday some great thing's going to happen to you, and you're going to get a lucky break, and it's going to be well with you, and you're going to do some great outstanding thing for God. But I want you to know it'll never happen like that. You'll keep looking at that face of yours until all your hair's gone. You'll keep looking at that face of yours until it wrinkles up like a prune. You'll keep looking at that face of yours until you take the last look just before they lay you down in the dirt, and nothing great won't happen to you. You can keep telling yourself how intelligent you are, how much ability you've got, how that you're just so great that you'll sweep people off of their feet. But you'll find out in the end that they'll sweep you off of your feet and they'll put you down in a hole and throw the dirt in your face. So then, what should I do? What should I do? I should realize that if I'm going to get anything from God, I've got to believe. When you pray, then believe. There's no need to pray if you don't believe. And I've got to realize that God cannot give me anything without faith. That it's impossible for me to please God without faith. I must have faith in God. The Bible said to have faith in God. I must have faith in God. There is no other way God can reward me. And I said, oh God, how foolish I've been. How I've misunderstood. There is no way that you can reward me. There's nothing that you can do for me unless I believe. And I begin to understand that I've got to believe. If I'm to be worthy, I must believe. God purifies my heart by faith. And it doesn't matter who you are or what church you belong to. If you don't believe in God, you're not purified. If you don't have faith in God, you don't have the goods. If you don't have faith in God, you won't get your healing. If you don't have faith in God, you won't have any prosperity through life. You've got to have faith in God. And to be able to have faith in God, you can't half do things. You're going to have to seek God with your whole heart. And the Bible said, in the day that you seek me with your whole heart, then shall you find me, saith the Lord. It's going to take seeking God with your whole heart. If you could come to God with all of your heart, then God can do something for you. But if you don't come to God with all of your heart, then you'll never have this faith that I'm speaking of. This is also the reason why that the Bible tells us to contend for the faith. That is to say, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. I must contend for the faith if I'm going to have the faith. And contending for the faith, I say this every once in a while. When two men get into a roped off area, to box as they call it, to fight with the gloves, they contend one with another until the man who is the best man comes out. The best man, as has been said, he comes out and he's the champion. And he wears the belt because he's the champion. The best man. You know, even those people have learned the power of faith. And they've gotten to where they pray to God before they leave their corner. And they believe that God's going to make them that great invincible one. And even the devil is learning the power of believing, as we say. The power of believing. Believing. Because there's blood on the seat of atonement. There's grace in the behalf of even the wicked in this day, to where God doesn't have to destroy them. And the devil is taking full advantage, and people are taking full advantage. But you know what? For you and I, for us, it's going to take a different kind of a believing. It's going to take faith unto salvation. Not just the dispensational opportunity of faith that God has given just during a dispensational age, to where even the wicked can come into the presence of God
and get the blessing of God is to the extent that God will be merciful and not destroy them. Somebody would say, well, I don't believe that, Brother Pike. But did you know that even the devils pleaded mercy? Even the devils, when the Lord went into the land of Gadara, they pleaded mercy. And they said, if you're going to cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. Don't send us back, as we would say. Don't send us back into the bottomless pit. Don't do that, but suffer us to go free, they said. Suffer us to be in the swines. If we can't be in the highest form of life, then suffer us to be in the other form of life. And you know, Jesus was merciful. Jesus, knowing that he was going to spill his blood, the same way that he forgave the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, he did not forgive the demons, but he had mercy. He prolonged things. They said, have you come to torment us before our time? Give us mercy. Let us go away into the herds of swine. And so then Jesus said, go. Even mercy to the devils. You know, that's really something. The devil has learned through believing that in this day and age that he can actually have mercy. So then God deals with you and I differently. He cannot go into the heart of the devil and purify the heart of the devil, but he can give grace. He can let religious formality come into his presence in the sense that they can come and they can talk with him through, we say, through communications as to the preacher or somebody that's really got God, somebody that's really a God man, somebody that can make contact with God. They can come into the presence of these preachers, presence of God men, and they can make communication with God. And not only that, they can get healed. People I'm speaking of can get healed. And devils and demons can get mercy. And devils and demons can live in human bodies. And they as parasites can drink up the strength of a human being and continue to live there. And God doesn't bother them. God continues to let them live there. That's mercy, isn't it? You say, but that's wrong to the people, Brother Pike. No, it's not wrong to the people. If a person wants to live and live in a house and let a dog and a cat live with him, that's his business. If I want to live in a house and I don't want a dog and a cat living with me in the house, that's my business. So then God lets the devils and demons continue to live with them. That's their business. They want it like that. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But we, being people of God, we don't do things like that. We want devils and demons taken out of our lives. We want the devils and demons moved out of our presence. We don't want to be in their presence, and we don't want to feel the presence. And we don't want them in our flesh, and we don't want them in our heart. So then, by faith in the righteousness of the Son of God, we have Christ's Spirit to come into our heart. Move the plague out, as I preached the sermon here not too long ago. Move the plague out of our house. Come into our heart. Shed abroad the grace of God and bless us and heal us and purify our hearts unto salvation. So then we find that faith, real faith, that is how that we're saved, and that to get anything from God, we've got to believe. There is no other way that God can give it to us. We must believe. To be worthy, we must believe. If I'm going to be worthy, I must believe. And what must I believe in? I must believe in the finished works of the Son of God. I must believe in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I must believe that Christ died in my behalf, and that the Word of God is sure, and that God's Word will come into my life, and God will do something for me. I must believe. I cannot get salvation unless I believe. I cannot get healing unless I believe. I cannot get the things that I desire of God unless I believe. But when I believe, I get what I want. This is the same way with you. If you're going to get anything from God, you got to believe. You got to believe in His righteousness. Otherwise, you're not worthy. Somebody would say, but I'm a son of God, Brother Pike. How then are you a son of God? Is it not by the faith of Jesus Christ? Or isn't it because you believe in Christ Jesus? Can you then be a son of God any other way? There's no way that I can be a son of God except by faith in the finished works of the Son of God. For me to be a son of God, I must have faith in the Son of God, in what he did for me. I must have faith in the atonement. And in this, God sending the Spirit of his Son into my life purifies my heart by the Holy Ghost. And I find that God's Spirit brings faith into my heart as my heart is purified, because the pure in heart shall see God. And I see God because he's purified my heart. I see God, and God thus rewards me as I see him. I see God, the great Spirit, the great wonderful Christ of Spirit, that approaching revelation, that great wonderful understanding, that divine enlightenment that the world cannot see. For the Bible said he, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see, but he shall be in you. And the Bible teaches that Christ dwelleth within you, and the Holy Ghost is within you. So then you have the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost. He dwells within you. He enlightens your understanding. The world can't receive him because they cannot see him. But beloved friend, I've received him. Why did I receive him? Because I can see him. I can see him. I could not see him while I was alive in the world. But in that I'm not alive in the world anymore, I see him. I see the great God of heaven. I see the Holy Ghost. I see always the things my Father does. So then I see him, and in that I see him, he rewards me accordingly. All of our conflict is with Lucifer. Everything that God goes to do, Lucifer hinders. Lucifer does everything he can to cause problems. Even with the hoarseness that the preacher usually puts up with, it's Satan. He wants to do something to hinder that message. He wants to cause that mind of Christ, which is trying to speak. He wants to cause that to have problems. So he conflicts. And as the Bible said, God looked and saw that Satan was at the right hand of Joshua to resist him when he went to do something. And Paul said, I would have come unto you, but Satan hindered me. But again, it is by faith that we continue on. It is by faith that we overcome. It is by faith that we do everything that we do, because we know that we're in a battle, and we know that we've got God's presence with us. And though sometimes wounded, sometimes bleeding at heart, sometimes having problems, yet we continue on to do the things that God's called us to do. Just to be able to believe is the victory. For this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. God said, you be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. He didn't say that you had to overcome the world to be of good cheer. He said, let the weak say that I am strong. He didn't say that you had to be strong. He said, you confess my strength. You confess what I did for you. You confess my strength. You confess my joy. You confess my faith. I've overcome the world. You confess my ability. He said, and then you'll be a great, mighty warrior for God. But did you know, that is the confession of faith. That is faith making the confession. For Christ is the high priest of our confession. Whatever I confess, then that's what I am. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. If I confess faith in God, then I have faith. If my faith confesses healing, then I have healing. If my faith in God confesses prosperity, then I have prosperity. If my faith confesses that God will use me, then God will use me. Whatever my faith confesses, God will do it for me, because it is the confession of my faith, and Christ is the high priest of my confession. So then, I'm here tonight to teach you concerning believing. Why do we have to believe? Why doesn't God do it another way? Because there is no other way God can do it. There is nobody worthy. God looked down from heaven, and the Bible says that he saw that the thoughts of men's heart, even the imagination of man's heart, was continually evil. And the Bible said God sought for somebody, and he said, there's none. No, not any. They've all gone astray. And every man is turned to his own way. So then God has laid upon Christ the iniquity of us all. And the Bible says that he was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastening or the chastisement of my peace and your peace was laid upon his back. So then by his stripes, the Bible tells me I'm healed. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm saved by the works of Jesus. I am free from the bondage of the beggarly elements of the world by the life of Jesus. Satan, sin, sickness, all the things of the world have no more power over me because I am free from the things of this world. I found Christ. And Christ, though we've got rules and though we've got regulations and though we've got things that we have to do to stay in harmony with health and happiness, though there's certain things that we have to do, yet so far as Satan's interference, so far as Satan binding us, Satan hath no power over us. Now we can violate the things of God. We can violate the rules and regulations of health. We can fail to go to sleep at the right time, fail to get up at the right time, fail to exercise the body properly. As to doing something, we can fail to wash our faces and our bodies, fail to brush our teeth and cleanse ourselves, and we'll find problems. We'll find problems. But that's things that we do, that we do as to the negligence, to give place to those things. But beloved friend, God has so fixed it that if we use the wisdom of Christ, use the understanding of God, unless we give our bodies for the sake of Christ as under death, as under suffering, as under that which Paul said, to know him after the fellowship of his suffering, unless we do that willingly, the devil cannot touch us in anything. So then we, a living sacrifice for God, daily giving ourselves to Christ, we find favor with God, and we find the faith that overcomes the world and everything in the world so that we are not taken into bondage by the powers of evil. How then can I be rewarded by faith in God? How can I receive of God? Because I am pure in heart, and that by faith in Christ. So then God cannot come to me and say, here is something for you because you're worthy. And I'm not going to give it to Brother Taylor because he's not worthy. God cannot do that because there is no human beings in the earth that have any righteousness in the sight of God. So the only righteousness of God is by faith. Abraham was called the friend of God because he believed God. So we draw nigh to God by faith, and we become pure in the sight of God by faith. And we become holy in the sight of God by faith. So then we must do all that we can to stimulate our faith, that our faith might take hold of God. So then your works in the earth, your fasting, your praying, your efforts, your goodness, all that you do has nothing to do with salvation whatsoever. It doesn't commend you in the sight of God one bit. You're not any better, not any better at all. It has nothing to do with that because you are saved by the faith of Jesus Christ. And the faith of Jesus Christ has one kind of works to accompany it, and that is the works of Jesus Christ. And that finishes my salvation, and that finishes my program with God. That takes care of everything. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, why do we fast then? Why do we pray? Why do we have to do these things? For your faith. That's for your faith. Your faith is dead without works. It takes your faith to do that, but your faith has nothing to do with salvation. It is God's faith by which he has saved us. The Bible said, if my heart condemns me, God is greater than my heart. God knoweth all things. God knows that I'm a son of God. God knows that I belong to the Lord because he saved me by his faith. And I called on his name. And the Bible said it shall come to pass, whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I called upon his name. He saved me by his faith. The Bible said he sanctified me once and for all by the offering up of the Son of God. Christ did it all. I am heir to it by simply believing in it. I'm heir to it by simply believing in it. But because of the human faith has a continual conflict with Lucifer, then you've got to kill out the body. You've got to do away with your old worldly mind. You've got to make a special effort toward God. You've got to turn and walk after Christ and walk away from the world. Or you're not going to believe even in your own faith. You're not going to believe. It takes separation from the world. It takes conditioning your believing. It takes putting some works with your believing so that you will be able to believe in the finished works of Christ. I believe in the faith of the Son of God by which you are justified, by which you are sanctified. Folks, I know that you don't realize this, but when we think about being saved by our own believing, it is hard for us to comprehend the fact that that's impossible. That is utterly impossible. Because your faith never at any time is continual without wavering, without faltering, without broken intervals of confidence. So it would be impossible for God to do that. But God has saved us by the faith of His Son Jesus. The faith that never wavered during its entire lifetime. The faith that never had broken intervals. The faith, the Bible speaks of the faith, we preached on it a number of times, kept under the law, unto the faith, which afterwards should be revealed. And when that faith of Jesus Christ came, the faith by which we're sanctified, God imputed faith unto us as righteousness. And all we have to do is believe in our own natural believing, stimulate our natural believing by our works and by our efforts, believe in the Son of God and what He did for us, have confidence in the finished faith and works of Jesus Christ, and then the faith of Christ is manifested in our hearts, and God purifies our hearts by the faith of Christ and sanctifies us by the faith of Christ, which is our high priest. He is the priest, the high priest of my confession. And God made Him to feel my infirmities, to where He knows my shortcomings, and He confesses me to God. And He makes way for my believing, my up and down believing, my broken intervals of believing. He makes up for it, and He's the missing link that's in the chain of my shortcomings. So then God sees my faith as faith that doesn't have any broken intervals. Because everywhere there's something missing in my believing, Christ is faith that never wavered makes up for it. So then I'm made perfect in Him. And my believing is made perfect in His believing. So then I get the things that I ask God for. I said this morning we ask in faith, nothing wavering. We must ask in faith, nothing wavering. If you want to get something from God, your faith is broken in such a way. If you want to get something from God, you got to do something special to stimulate your faith to where you can believe in God without wavering. And when you get to where you can believe in God without wavering, it doesn't matter what you ask, you automatically get it. Mark 11, 22 said, if you ask anything, have faith in God. If you ask anything, have faith in God. For I say unto you, if you'll say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things that you say shall come to pass, ye shall have whatsoever you say. It doesn't matter what you say. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? I mean just exactly what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what you say. If you say it and don't doubt, don't waver, then you can have whatsoever you say. But you must ask in faith, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. You can't be double-minded. A double-minded man shall receive nothing of God. The Bible said he's unstable in all of his ways. Let him not think that he shall receive anything of God. But ask in faith, nothing wavering. Have your mind made up. Be sure that's what you want. And then go to God, decree the thing in your heart, and it'll come to pass. Christ is the high priest of your confession. All you've got to do is say, it's mine. And decree it in your heart and don't let up, you got to have it. Nothing can't stop you. I believe that, folks. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that what I ask of God, God will give it to me. And whatever I say concerning the things of God, God will do it for me. Because I have faith in God.
Let us ask in faith, nothing wavering, and God will give us the desires of our heart. Let us go to God boldly before the throne of grace, telling God that we believe it, that we're going to have it. And God will give it to us. But we must go believing. We must go without wavering. We must go before the throne boldly. Boldly before the throne in the grace of God, not wavering. Saying, Jesus, finish the works. I believe it. It's mine. I'm going to have it. You say, Brother Pike, that can't be. I know it can be because I've done it many times. I've not done it one time. I've not done it two times. I've not done it 10 times. I've done it hundreds of times. Can you get a hold of that? I have done it hundreds of times. And it works. It works. Doesn't matter where you're at, it still works. Doesn't matter how many times you've asked before, it still works. It always works. When you believe, it always works. So then, can you believe in God? The Bible said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Don't cast away your faith, which hath great recompense and reward. Don't say that I'm not believing just because you don't get healed. Don't say that you haven't believed. Just remember, as I said this morning, it's not a matter of whether you believe or not. It's a matter of the strength of your faith. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory unto God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So then, when you have faith in God, don't just throw away your faith and say, well, it might not work. I don't have faith. Just say, I believe. I'm going to strengthen my faith. I'm going to do something to strengthen my faith. I'm going to bring the spirit of works and the spirit of joy and the spirit of encouragement. And as David said, I'll encourage myself in the Lord. And just say within your heart, God, I believe. And I'm going to encourage myself. And I'm not going to take defeat. And all of a sudden you'll find the great hand of God will reach out like it did to Peter when Peter was going down beneath the water. And the great hand of God will come out. And when your faith begins to waver a little bit, God will pick you up. And you'll find out that you can just walk right on through the problems. Right on through the problems. Folks, I have a lot of problems. Did you know that? I just have all kinds of problems. But did you know that by faith in God, I walk right through the problems? So then I said, God, why is it that I have the conflict that I do? Why is it that I have the problems that I do? Paul said, I'm having a problem, he said. He said, Father, deliver me from it. Deliver me from it. What is it, Paul? It's a messenger of the devil. He messes up everything I do. He follows me everywhere I go. He aggravates me in all that I do. Father, move that devil. The Father said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. That is, don't worry, Paul. You got power over that devil. Every time he rises up, you've got power over him. We say, well, Father, well, why are you letting him stay there to aggravate me? Because, Paul, you got so much revelation that if you didn't have something to put you down in the eyes of the people, if you didn't have somebody to stir up a witch and cause them to run around after you and say things contrary, or if you didn't have something to cause problems, why, the people would make you a god. They'd exalt you, Paul, in such a way that you wouldn't be able to be in their presence without them making you a king, making you a ruler. Said, my grace is sufficient, Paul. Paul said, therefore, said, though I talked to him several times about it, he just said, no. He said, my grace is sufficient. Paul said, therefore, because of this, there was given unto me a messenger, a thorn in the flesh, a devil to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure, because of my much revelation. And so then the devil is in the world today, but we've got power over the devil. He aggravates you in everything that you do. He tries to hinder you in everything that you do. Paul said, I would have come unto you, but that devil hindered me. He was still there when I go to do something, Paul said, and he hindered me. But nevertheless, Paul went on. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was in problems. He always had things happening. They beat him. They cast him into prison. Satan buffeted him to bring about the showing of the life of Christ, that they might see God in Paul's life. That was the way that they saw it. So then, when the devil comes around, don't give place to him. When he comes around, don't believe anything he says. When those thoughts, when those shadows of unbelief
strike your mind when the thoughts that are contrary to the voice of God and the way of God, when that thing comes, shake it out of your mind and get rid of it. Don't have anything to do with it. When that shatter comes up there, when that thought comes up there, you shake it out and say, no, God said different. I believe God's word. I believe what God said about it. I believe it's going to be according to God's word. Shake the thing out and go right on and believe God anyway. And folks, when you learn to do that, get those things out of your mind. When you learn to do that, you'll find that the faith of Christ will come. And thoughts from ministering angels of light will come. And those devils, those demons of darkness, and those thoughts of intellectual discouragement will vanish away into nothing. And you'll find that those thoughts of victory, those thoughts of confidence, those thoughts of thrill, those thoughts of excitement, those thoughts that create exuberance in your heart, you'll find that those thoughts begin to fill your mind. And you'll feel a new courage and you'll feel a new strength. And life will be worth living. You'll want to be a Christian. You'll want to do something for God. But I tell you what, if you let that old devil of darkness come over you, let those old shadows of death penetrate your mind, and let the infiltration of those thoughts that causes you to be gullible to the world and makes you interested in the things of the world, if you let those thoughts come into you, you'll just be cast down all the time. There'll always be a cloud between the light of God and the day star and you. There'll always be a disappointment. Your hope will always be deferred. And the Bible said deferred hope sickeneth the heart. So then you'll find that you never have what you want from God. That's because you give place to the devil. So then let's have faith in God. And let's remember that we can't get anything from God unless we believe. And let's remember that it is impossible to please God unless we have faith. Because to please God, we've got to be clean and pure in heart. And we can't be clean and we can't have pureness of heart unless we have faith in God. Because we don't have the works of Jesus Christ in our behalf. Does that make sense to you folks? That's the way it is. So then God answered me very clearly. God, I don't understand why you can't do it. And then when God finished, he said, now, son, do you understand why I can't do it? I said, I understand, Lord. I understand. From now on, I'll believe. And from now on, I'll realize that the reason that I didn't get the things I needed and that why that I had the problems that I did, I'll realize from now on, God, the reason that I couldn't excel and do the things I wanted to in world evangelism was because I did not believe. But from now on, I will believe, Lord. I'll have faith. I'll believe. I'll let you purify my heart. I'll believe, God. I believe. And so I prayed to God, Lord, help me. Forgive my unbelief. I believe, oh God. I believe. So this is the wonderful things that God shared with me that I share with you tonight. This is the way it is. All you've got to do is listen to the word of God, irregardless to my repulsive vocal organs. Just listen to the word of God. And apply the word of God to your heart and realize the importance of the word of God. And you'll find out it'll work, folks. Anything that you desire, if you say it and don't doubt in your heart, the Bible said you'll have whatsoever you say. Decree a thing in your heart, it'll come to pass. So then, let's remember that and let's try to do something for God. I want to say again, you need to go out and invite somebody to come to listen to the word of God, or invite somebody to join this wonderful army of God, even if they never come to Bethlehem. Invite somebody to be a part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and to get in a church somewhere or get with some brethren somewhere to where they can have God to minister to their soul. When you do that, you're working for God. If you don't do that, you're not working for God. He that winneth souls is wise. This is the way to do it. Bring people to church with you. Go out and invite somebody. You know what you do when you do that? You lay up treasures in heaven. Everyone that you win to God will be a jewel in your crown of life in that great day when you have eternal living. You will eternally live. And God will crown your soul with the crown of living, eternal living. And every person that you win to God will be a shining bright jewel that will be in your radius of eternal living and will sparkle in that wonderful day of God's great deliverance. When you see them, They'll be praising God, and they'll be thankful for you. You'll mean something to them. Somebody will say, well, Brother Pike, you mean there's going to be somebody else that's going to get some attention in heaven outside of Jesus? Sure there will be. He'll be the chief one. But there'll be a number of them. There'll be kings. 24 kings of the elders that shall be around the throne that'll get plenty of attention. And there'll be kings throughout the wonderful new earth. And the Bible said rulers over 10 cities and 50 cities. And there'll be great, wonderful people of God, men and women alike, that will be great in the coming events of God, in that great, wonderful coming world. Men of leadership, women of leadership, great people, and others will follow them throughout eternity. And as it is said of the kings that rule over many people will take their crown into the city and the praise of the people into the city and throw their crowns down at the feet of the King of Kings. Those kings will throw their crowns down at the feet of the King of Kings. That's why the book of Revelation says that God has made us kings and priests unto our God. And we shall rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. So then God is going to be with us, and God's going to bless us, and God's going to help us. And even in the great city, there's still going to be the great power of leadership, even beyond the millennium. So then, let's stand together tonight. I'm glad to have opportunity to speak to you. And it's been a little bit of a struggle tonight because of the hoarseness. But like I say, the words, that's what's important. The message is what's important. Might have been enlightening, but I felt sure that Satan would try to hinder tonight. I'm not ignorant of his devices, as Paul said, and I can tell. I can usually tell when he's going to run interference or when he's going to hinder. Like on a football field, and I don't believe in football, but everything being typical and all the invisible things of God from the creation of the world being understood by the things which do appear. When the man takes the ball and he's headed for the other goal to make the touchdown, then there's men that are put there for none other reason than to run interference. They don't do anything but run interference. They're not out to do anything. I mean, they don't have any purpose in the entire game but just to be in the way of him that's taking the ball. And at Little Bethlehem, it's the same way. And around the world, wherever you preach the gospel, there are false brethren. There are people that give strength to the devil just like there are people that give strength to God. And those that are in the carnal mind are those people, because the carnal mind is enmity with God. And they're there for no other purpose than just to run interference. They're there to interfere. If the weather doesn't run interference, in that Satan is the prince of the powers of the air, he causes all kinds of problems of the weather. And if it doesn't run interference with the things of God, then there will be other things that will run interference. And there will be people that he will use to run interference. But there's one thing for sure, he's real, folks. There's a real devil. There's a real Lucifer. And there's hundreds of thousands of demons, fallen angels, working in minds of people like maggots in a dead dog. They're working all the time. They're there. And like an old buzzard pecking on a dead carcass, they're always pecking away. And they're always causing problems and always filling themselves up with the dead carrying this life. So what we need to do is rise above that. We need to get above the stench. We need to get above it. You know, a lot of little planes are caught in the rain and in the turbulence because they can't fly above the clouds. They can't get up high enough. But you take those super jets, take a real pilot, when he takes off with his cargo and his load, why, he goes high above the clouds. He gets up to where there's no interference. There's nothing between him and the sunlight. He just gets up there where the sunlight is. And all of those clouds that's causing problems, he just flies right over them. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to get up above the clouds. And by revelation of God, we can get up above the clouds. This is the age when we can get up above the clouds and we can take a load with us. We can take a load with us right up above the clouds. And what a wonderful time it is to get up there, to look around and have that serene feeling, that peaceable feeling, to where you don't have all the interference, the turbulence, the lightning, the thundering, the roar. Get it out of your ears and get up there with God. That's the wonderful place to be, is with Christ. Let's sing the chorus, "I Love Him," can we? Oh, I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you sing them again? I love Him. Oh, I love Him. All because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Don't you love Him tonight? Don't you love Him tonight with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength? And the Bible said, in the day that we seek Him with our whole heart, then shall you find me, saith the Lord. What a wonderful time. What an exciting time. What a great moment. Just to be a child of God, just to be a son of God. Is there anything greater than being a son of God? There is nothing to be compared with it, my brother, my sister. There is nothing to be compared with being a son of God. Walking in the way of the Lord. Walking in the pathway of the Lord Jesus. Let's sing this little chorus, "Sweep Over My Soul," can we? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me like this now. For we've anchored our souls in God's heaven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it one more time now. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Don't you love the Lord? Don't you love the Lord? I want you to slip your hands up with me. Folks, if you've never made that great commitment, if you've never made that crossing, now's the time to make it. Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day. And I'm persuaded to believe, Paul said, that there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. If He loved me so much that He gave the best that heaven could afford, there's nothing, folks, that He wouldn't give you. I say this a lot of times. We ask God for things and we're so afraid that He won't give them to us. So afraid that God won't share with us. The Bible said, you being evil, and you could give good gifts to your children. Why do you think that the Heavenly Father is any less than you are? How much more will God give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And if you ask me bread, would I give you a serpent? Would I do that? Just ask God for a fish. Would He give you a stone? If ye being wicked, ye being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more does the Heavenly Father want to give unto us? He said, but why don't He do it, Brother Pike? Why don't He do it? That's what I asked Him. Why don't you do it, God? Why don't you do it? And the Lord said, son, I can't. I can't unless you have faith. I can't fellowship iniquity. Light hath no fellowship with darkness. I can't. It's impossible. I can't. And the Bible said many great, mighty miracles and things He could not do because of their unbelief. It did not mean that He did not have the power to do it, but it meant that they were not a living receptacle. God could not do it because they could not receive it. A man can't receive anything save it be given him of God. And I said, Lord, why didn't you do it? Why don't you do it? And He said, I can't, son, I can't. But I want to give good gifts to you folks. I know my thoughts towards you. My thoughts are not bad towards you. Peace on earth and goodwill towards you men. By the blood of Jesus Christ and faith in His name. I've not sent my son into the world to condemn the world, but that through my son the world might be saved. So then, if thou canst believe, Jesus said, all things belong to you by believing. Oh, if thou canst believe, He said, all things belong to you by believing. Everything's possible to you. It's yours. But you've got to believe. You must believe. If thou canst believe, Jesus said. They said, oh Lord, come and heal. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, I'll come, I'm willing, I'm ready. If thou canst believe, let's go. If you'll just believe, I'm ready. I'm ready. For my eyes are throughout the earth, beholding the upright in heart, running to and fro in the earth, looking for the upright in heart, that I might show myself strong in their behalf. The high priest of your confession, can you confess it? Can you confess it? Can you believe it? Can you confess it? It's real, folks. Can you make your heart confess it? Can you decree it in your heart? In your heart not waver? Decree a thing in your heart and it'll come to pass. I challenge you to do it. I challenge you to do it. Tonight, while you're standing right here, I challenge you to do it. Somebody said, well, there's something I want I haven't got, Brother Pike. The Bible said, unless you're asking amiss to consume it on your own lust, unless it's a selfish desire, all you got to do is decree it in your heart and it'll come to pass. If it's something that you want to better your life and you're going to honor God with that thing and you're going to use it for the glory of God, all you got to do is decree a thing in your heart and it'll come to pass. I challenge you to do it. I challenge you to do it tonight. Whatever it might be, try it tonight and see if it don't work. And you know what? When it does work, it'll make you stronger. You'll say, my God, what Brother Pike says is true. It really does work. It does work. I never will forget. I've decreed a lot of things in my heart. A lot of things. But one thing that really disturbed me when they had the prisoners, I decreed it in my heart that they would loose them. I decreed it. I said, and the prisoners will be loose, and nobody will be able to stop them, and they won't be able to kill them. They will be free, and they will come home. I told the brethren, I talked to God, I said, brethren, they're coming. They're going to be free. God's going to bring them home. Though it was opposed, and though some said it's wrong, yet they came home. Not only came home, but God gave me a song, Welcome Home, when they come home. So then decree a thing in your heart, beloved friend, it'll come to pass. Whatever it is, if you want it, tell God you're going to have it. Say, God, it's mine. I'm going to serve you, Jesus. I'm going to love you, Jesus. I'm going to seek you with all my heart, Jesus. But I decree this thing in my heart and it's coming to pass. It's going to be the very way that I say that it's going to be. Somebody would say, but not the very way, Brother Pike. The Bible said if you say it and don't doubt in your heart, you'll have whatsoever you say. You know, when I wanted to go into world evangelism, I said, Lord, I'm poor. I don't have any money to take hundreds of thousands of dollars. God said, what's that got to do with it? Decree it in your heart. Believe it. I'll bring it to pass. I said, God, by faith, I'm going into Germany. I'm going into Germany, God. I said, by faith, I'm going into the foreign fields. I'm going into South America. I'm going into the islands. By faith, God. And each time by faith I went, and hundreds of thousands of dollars have been spent by faith. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. By faith, people received their loved ones raised from the dead. By faith, they waxed valiant in fight and put the alien armies to flight. By faith, the Bible said, by faith, they crossed the Red Sea. The Egyptians are saying to do it were drowned because they didn't have faith. By faith, old brother Joshua made the sun and the moon stand still. By faith in God, if thou canst believe. Folks, think what an opportunity this is. Think what a great moment this is. Are you going to let this day pass by being gullible toward the things of the world, the beggarly elements of the world? Do you desire to be under bondage to them kind of things? Are you going back to the world? Are you going to give your mind to the world and your spirit to the world and be under bondage to those kind of things? Are you going to bypass this great, wonderful, exciting event when you, being a human being, man to woman, boy or girl, you have the chance to perfect faith in your life? You have the chance to just simply believe for what you want. You have an opportunity to believe for the gifts of the Spirit in your life. You have the opportunity to covet a gift by faith in God and to have that thing come to pass. You have an opportunity to be blessed financially, physically, spiritually by seeking the kingdom of God first. God saying all these other things will be added unto you. Have opportunity. The Bible said, in the blessing of the Lord maketh the rich and addeth no sorrow. Whatever you do, it'll prosper. Your opportunity, your faith in God, you have that great chance. You can evangelize the world. You can feed the hungry. I wanted to send a little something over to the needy a month or two back. I said, I don't have it. But Lord, I want to send it anyway. By faith, I'll send it. In a little while, we'd sent $7,000 over there to help them. Didn't have it. Kept paying the bills. Had thousands of dollars in the bills that had to be paid. Things that we had to do. But still, at the same time, we did it. We did it by faith. Oh, what a challenge. What an opportunity. What a great moment. What a thrilling event. To be able to be put to the test. To believe God. Will you believe? You can believe. You should believe. You can if you will. You can. You can have whatever you want. It doesn't matter what it is. Somebody said, well, there's certain things that God just can't do. God just won't do. I'd love to know what they are. I'd love to know what they are. God said, is there anything too hard for me? Or the angel said, Sarah, why did you laugh? Is there anything too hard for God? Can't I renew your youth, Sarah? Can't I renew your youth, Abraham? Am not I God? Didn't I make you? Can't I renew your youth? Sure I can. Is there anything too hard for God? Go heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Is there anything harder than raising the dead? If raising the dead is a commandment of God, why is there anything else too hard? See, God can, God will, God wants to. What we've got to do, folks, is learn that God wants to do it, that it's God's will to do it, and understand why God hasn't done it, and realize that the fault lies within us and not God, that it's not haphazard with God. It's not maybe. It's not a hit and a miss. It's not sporadic. It's not maybe this fella and the other fella don't get it. It's not that one woman can have it and another woman can't have it. That's not what it is at all. The same attitude toward everybody. What I send to one, I send to all. He wants every one of you to have the desires of your heart, beloved friend. And whatever you say and don't doubt in your heart, you can have it. But the fault lies within the people. The fault lies within the people. If thou canst believe, if thou canst believe, the fault lies within the people. While you've got your heads bowed, I want you to think this over. If there's anybody in here that believes what I say, I'd like for them to come down to the altar. Does anybody at all believe it? Jesus said, if thou canst believe, the Bible said, and he that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth not shall be damned, Jesus said. Because you've not believed in the record that God gave of his only begotten Son. If thou canst believe, it's good to be a Christian. It's good to believe. I wouldn't be nothing else. I wouldn't want to be anything else. Anything else in the world is nothing but trash to me. Anything else in the world is just beggarly elements that's made to be burned and destroyed. Houses, lands, jobs, education, prestige, money, fame, popularity is nothing but junk, trash, beggarly elements. All of it will pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The one that's got Christ in their heart, the one that believes in the Son of God, you can live forever, folks. You don't have to die. I'm talking about reality. Somebody said in the sweet by and by. I'm talking about in the sweet right now. There's nothing sweeter about the by and by than it is right now. I've said this a lot of times to my wife. You know, I get real hungry. Betty said, well, it ain't time yet. We fix something later. I said, my lands, I'd rather have a biscuit when I'm hungry than have pie later. When you're good and hungry, a hunk of cornbread tastes better than pie does when you're filled up. Isn't it right? I'm talking about the sweet right now. The sweet right now. Jesus Christ, the present helper, in the time of need, right now. He's with you right now. He wants to help you right now. See, I got a problem right now. You got a problem right now. Later on down the trail, I may not have a problem. See, my problems are right now. The Bible said he's a present help in the time of need. Let me see your hand if you've got a need. If anybody's got a need, let me see your hand. Oh, Lance, you tell me that he's not here? You tell me that God wouldn't be here with all those needs? Just think, if there's that many needs here tonight, think of the hundreds and millions of people, and even the billion, into the billions of people that have a need tonight around the earth. And then to think that Jesus wouldn't answer that call. Folks, it's a light thing for him to do what you want him to do. It's a light thing for him to do it. This is a thrilling moment, folks. This is a thrilling time. This is the time of the great reward, the time of the great blessing. The Bible said in the sounding of the last trump, it'll come to pass. 11:15, the trump sounds, and God will give reward unto his holy apostles and prophets. See why? Because faith will rise up then. The people will have finished their course. The rewards will come. Faith will be finished. The perfecting of your faith. For when the word of God is preached and you understand thoroughly, then you believe. And when you believe, then you can have what you want. Just say it. Isn't that something? Do you ever stop to think about that? I mean, day after day, month after month, I stop to think about that. And I just think, oh God, to think that that Bible is real, that that's the word of God, that that can't be changed. The wonderful word of God tells me that if I say anything, and if I believe, if I decree it in my heart and I don't doubt, and I believe it, it'll come to pass. Have you ever done it, Brother Pike? I've done it many times. Many times I've done it. I've known my wife to do it. I've known my children to do it. I've seen Betty when she would get inspired. And I've seen my wife say, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I said, are you sure? Just testing her, checking her out, you know. She said, I believe it. I just know it. Oh, she gets so excited over it. And sure enough, it happened. I mean, it happened just exactly like she said it. And I've done it many times, folks. I've had to do it. I have to do it every day, as we say.
I have to do it with a regularity because I have tens of thousands of dollars I have to meet. I see Bill waving his hand at me. He knows that's true. It's got to be like that. But you know, it's exciting to me. It's exciting. It's a challenge. It's exciting. Now, you know, it's discouraged. Deferred hope sickeneth the heart, and it's discouraging. It's discouraging to think, Lord, I'm going to believe. Lord, I'm going to believe. Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try, Lord. And then all of a sudden you think, but I ain't good enough. And you think, well, he wouldn't do it for me. And you think, well, I've been too bad. I ain't served him long enough. I ain't fasted enough. I ain't prayed enough. I'm not good enough. You know, that's discouraging. I admit that's discouraging. But don't you know that's the devil? Don't you remember what the Bible said? See how many of you remember this. And in the day that you fast enough and pray enough and get good enough, I'll do whatever you say. Don't you remember that scripture? Have we got any Bible scholars? Tell me where that verse is found. He said, well, I don't believe that, brother. I don't believe it's in there, Brother Pike. Well, why do you entertain that kind of thinking? Why is it you quote it to yourself all the time or let the devil quote it to you? Then you say, well, what does it say? He said, if you say anything, believe in your heart, don't doubt, it'll come to pass. Now, I can tell you where that's found. How many of you quote that to yourself? How many of you quote that over and over in your mind? Come on now. How many of you over and over in your mind say that whatever I say, I can have it if I don't doubt? Whatever I say, I can have it if I don't doubt in my heart. Whatever I say, I can have it if I don't doubt. You feel like take hold then? Feel like take hold? See, whatever I say, whatever I say, whatever I say, whatever I say. Come on, folks, whatever I say, whatever I say. Can you say that with me? Whatever I say, if I believe in my heart and I don't doubt, I'll have whatsoever I say. Do you feel like saying anything? Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, if I say it, I won't be able to believe it. Well, my man, you confess defeat before you ever get started. Why come you can't believe it? Somebody said, well, faith is just so hard. I can't get a hold of it. According to the Bible, faith is believing what the Word of God said. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. And just believing what the Word of God said, that's faith. What did the Word of God say? That whatever I say in my heart, if I believe and don't doubt, I can have it. Well, ain't what the Word of God said? Isn't that right? If I say it, I believe it. I mean, what's the need of reading if I don't believe it? Do you believe that? How many of you believe that? Let me see your hand. Come on, folks. Some of you took a hand down mighty quick. It went up like that. I want you to raise it and hold it up. Every one of y'all that really believe that scripture and believe that you actually can say anything and don't doubt in your heart and God will do it for you. You believe that? I believe that. Okay, there's one thing about it, folks. You remember what I'm saying. If you believe that, you won't have as much need as you've had in the past. Because every one of you said you had a need. Now, how do you believe that God's going to meet that need? Sure, he's going to meet that need. Let's pray. We're going to pray that God will meet that need. Now, I want you to pray with me. Ladies, I want you to pray with me. Men, I want you to pray with me. The Bible said when you pray, believe. There's no need to pray unless you're going to believe. Now, God promised that whatever I ask him, he would do. Isn't that right? But there's one thing that I have to do to receive it. It's already appropriated in the faith of Christ. In the funds of Christ, it's already in the bank for me. It's not a matter of whether I'm good enough or whether God will give it to me or whether God wants me to have it. Daniel called on God, and the Bible said the first day he called, God heard him. He didn't have to fast a day. He didn't have to pray a day in the sense of making long prayers. He just said, I want this, God. God said, when you first prayed, Daniel, I heard you. Not only did he hear him, folks, but he sent the answer. What then was the fasting for? To wrestle it out of the hands of the devil, because the devil intercepted his blessing. He stayed there 21 days before he would let a parasite take his blessing. So then, are you good enough? Will God give it to you? God's already given it to you.
The Bible said God has given you all things that pertain unto life. He has given it to you in Christ. What pertains unto life? I say this again to make you think. Transportation, food, health, happiness, wife, children, husband, lands, houses, understanding, blessings. All of these things pertain unto life, folks. God has given you all things that pertain unto life. Then you've got to believe. Are you going to let the devil take it away from you? Are you going to let unbelief have it? Are you going to let the devil stand between you and God? You don't want to do that, do you? Do you? Okay, let's believe. Let's close our eyes together. And let's lift our hands up to heaven. And tonight, I want you to decree a thing in your heart. And folks, don't play a game. Decree it in your heart tonight. What is it that you want? What is it that you need? Decree it in your heart tonight. I want to see it come to pass. I want to see it come to pass. Decree it in your heart. While your eyes are closed, while your spirits are going out to Christ, considering God's promise, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What is it you want? I tell you what, folks, and I'm not mocking and I'm not making a joke. I fear God. I tell you what, you're mighty people. You're God's. Jesus said, you're God's. Moses, I made you God unto Aaron. He said to the people, you're God's. Why do you want to die like men? By doubting and by wondering and from the lack of knowledge perish. Take the knowledge of God and know the word of God. That you are God's, that you're eternal, that you're made to live forever. That you've got the desire of your heart and all things belong to you. That you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Folks, tonight, decree it in your heart. And I'm going to pray with you. And I want you to decree it in your heart. And I want to see you come back. I want to see you come back and give me a testimony. And say, Brother Pike, you know what? I wasn't playing. That night when you told me that, it seemed impossible. There's a brother over to my left. The Lord has spoke to his heart. And it's something that he's really wanting. And I know what it is. I know what it is. The brother really wants something. And he believes what I said. What I said, he believes. He's not practiced what I've taught him. But he believes. And in his heart, he's hoping and desiring. You know what? I tell you what you do. If you'll accept what I said tonight, no matter how bad it looks, and it does look bad, but you accept what I said tonight, and I guarantee you, it'll happen. You'll be happy. It'll work out. It'll happen. But I'm going to tell you something. Joseph done something for somebody one time, and then he told him, he said, now you're going to get out of this dungeon. He said, but when you get up there, he said, don't you forget me. Folks, remember, when God does something for you and he answers your desire, don't you forget there's somebody else that's got a desire. Christ still needs a helping hand. He's in somebody else's heart. And he needs to get out of there to the extent of bringing them out of the grave and bringing them up into his light and into his promise. Don't forget to live right. Don't forget to do right, because you'll be back in the same place as you was if you don't do right. Don't be up and down. Don't be in and out. Don't be careless. Don't be undone without the things of God. Don't wait too late. There's just a breath of life going in and out your nostrils. If it ever stops, that's the end of you, folks. One little tick of the heart, that's all it takes. Your breath, your life, it's in your nostrils. That's all there is. And it'll all be over for you. So decree it in your heart. And to this person I spoke, since the Lord let me know what it was, like this morning he spoke to me in the service and let me know a certain thing that took place. I didn't know what it was. He told me what it was. And it was just exactly that way. See, so it's just exactly that way tonight. I tell you that. And the Lord let me know. You know, you might not think so. You've not been living right. And you've not been doing right. And you've not been walking with God. You might not know it, but you touch God tonight. Even though you haven't been doing it, you still touch God tonight by faith. I know you're touching him right now. Even right now, he's letting me know that you're touching him right now. And you ain't been living right. But you're ashamed of it. And your repentance toward God in sincerity is what it's all about. That ought to prove to you that it's not your works of righteousness that's going to bring it. Because I would say, because of the way that you've done, that you'd be the least one that could expect anything out of God in this group. You'd be among the very least. And you'd probably be the last person. But you see, righteousness is of God. And God purifies the heart with faith. And because you are in repentance and sincerity, and because you're mournful in your heart as to your desire, then God will grant it. God has granted it. If you'll believe it, won't doubt. If you'll believe it, won't doubt, He has granted it already. He's let me know He's already granted it. And I'll tell you what, you'll come back and you'll witness of it too if you appreciate it enough. You'll come back and testify of it. Or if not, if you can't do that, you'll come to me privately and you'll say, "Brother Pike, I just somehow know that was me that you was talking to. And brother, it happened. I believe God, and Brother Pike, it happened. It's happening right now. I feel the connection right now." And you know what? In that I'm talking to you like this, I feel the inspiration of other hearts too now. I feel some others that's being inspired. And I feel them decreeing some things in their heart too. I feel it happening, folks. From the bottom of my heart, I feel it happening. I feel you reaching out right now and touching God. I feel you doing it. I feel it happening right now. While we pray together, while this faith is here, Father of Heaven, I'm asking you in the name of your lovely child Jesus, by your righteousness, Father, to grant the desire of these hearts. It's not a matter of whether it's your will, my Father. It's not a matter, oh God, of whether it's your desire. For as Jesus said, "Thou hearest me always." And Father, as John said, "If I know that you hear me always, then I know that I have the petition that I desire of you." You've made it possible for me to call on you and you to hear me. These people are the sheep of your pasture. You hear them always, my Father, for they're bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. And in that you hear them, they know that they've got the petition, oh God, that they desire it. Grant it to them right now. Bless them right now. Let it be right now. In the name of the Son of God. And folks, I felt that. I felt that from the bottom of my heart. I felt that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to sing a little chorus together. While we're worshiping God, encouraging our faith, let's sing a little song together. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home was a band of angels coming after me. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. All of my friends that I'm coming to, coming to carry me home. Sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Oh, let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning and praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him. Let us praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Oh, let us love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him at the noontime. Love Him. Oh, let us love Him.
Love him when the sun's going down. And sometimes I feel heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. And sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down on me. So I wanna praise him. Praise him. Praise him in the morning and praise him at the noontime. Praise him. I wanna praise him. Praise him when the sun goes down. Oh, let us love him, love him. Love him in the morning and love him at the noontime. Love him. I want to love him. Love him when the sun is going down. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love Jesus? Lift your hands up and let's praise him again. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We praise you. We praise you for encouraging our faith. Oh, hallelujah. To think that it's all finished. And to think that you did it all, Jesus. And that nothing can be added and nothing can be taken away. And then you said to your children, children, I'd done it all for you. I finished it. There it is. Take it and enjoy it. Rejoice forevermore. Have the desires of your heart. Rejoice forevermore and praise God for the abundance of all things. For he hath given it to you. Lord, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We want to give glory to your wonderful name. Be with us and help us. Let's sing this. Gone, the stone is rolled back. Gone, the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone. Oh, the death triumphant, gone. Sin is forgiven, gone. He lives forevermore. Gone, the stone is rolled back, gone. The tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone. Oh, the death triumphant, gone. Sin is forgiven, gone. And he lives. Can you sing it one more time? Oh, it's gone. And the stone is rolled back, gone. And the tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone. Oh, the death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And he lives. Can you sing it just one more time? Oh, it's gone. And the stone is rolled back, gone. And the tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone. All the death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And he lives forevermore. Don't you just love to think about the stone being rolled away? I've been there in the Holy Land, and I'm sure others have. Walked into the tomb, and sure enough, the stone is gone. It's rolled back. It's rolled back. It's not there anymore.
It's not there anymore. The tomb is empty. Can we sing one more little chorus? This song we sing, Time Shall Be No More. Can we sing that? Give me another key. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. Sing it again now. Shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. You know what, folks? You're so privileged tonight. Brother Pike's going to close in a few minutes, but you're so privileged tonight. See, this is glad tidings of great joy. Behold, a Savior is risen. He loves you. Everything is right between you and Him tonight. Somebody said, oh, Brother Pike, if I could just ever come to the place to where everything was right between me and the Master. Everything's right tonight. You come to that place. Everything's right tonight. You come to that place. Everything's right tonight. He's smiling on you. He loves you tonight. He loves you. He wants you to have the desires of your heart. Everything's right tonight. Say, but old Brother Pike, yesterday, forgetting those things that are behind. Somebody said, but yesterday, but there is no yesterday. There is no yesterday. Forget about that. There's no yesterday. Say, oh, but Brother Pike, I feel I can't make it tomorrow. Well, forget about that. That's already taken care of. There ain't no tomorrow either. All that's taken care of. This is the day that the Lord has made. Time is no more. You've come to that wonderful, great, eternal day of God. Can you sing it again? If you believe it, sing it with me. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time. You just have to keep on saying it, because I feel we're saying, time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Now I want you to listen at me just a minute. What if you know tonight that you didn't have any sins and there was no more sins in your life? What if you knew that tonight? What if you knew that? How much difference would there be in your singing? Now, I want you to believe this tonight. How would you sing if you didn't have any more sins? Okay, by faith tonight, I remit your sins in the name of Jesus. And the Bible said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. I remit your sins tonight. Now, I want you to sing tonight as those that have had their sins remitted that love God. I want you to sing as saints of God that have no sin tonight. God has taken away your sin, and in Him there is no sin. And the Bible said, he that is born of God cannot sin. He keepeth himself from the evil one, touching them not. Sing tonight as those that are saints of God, that's perfect in His sight. For God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Sing as God's tonight, that don't have to die, that's passed from condemnation, that'll never come into condemnation, that's passed from death unto life. Sing like that tonight, because that's what you are, folks. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time, just one more time, and time shall be
No more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more.
Can you say praise the Lord? Folks, I tell you, it's getting exciting. It's getting exciting. Hallelujah. It's getting exciting. We're just moving out of that time era into that eternal day. Moving out of sickness and poverty, out of condemnation, out of oppression. And the joy of the Lord is being restored to the church. Can you imagine what's going to happen when you people begin to multiply and spread this around, and tens of thousands of people recognize this and begin to sing? And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be. Hallelujah! Can't you feel that, folks? For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, then time. If you sing it one more time, we'll be dismissed. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. If you believe it, say praise the Lord. I want you to bow your heads with me. A wonderful moment, folks. We're approaching that moment now that men won't have to die. We're coming to that moment now when men won't have to die, when death will be conquered. We're coming to that great moment now. See, to where we can live forever, and death is overcome by the faith of the victory which is in Christ. God has done it for us. Now we're beginning to recognize it. We're beginning to accept it. A pardon is not a pardon, as the law says, unless it is accepted. He's given us a real pardon, but we got to accept it, folks. So tonight, he said it, I believe it. All of his promises are yea and amen in Christ. I remitted your sins in Christ tonight. Canst thou believe? Canst thou believe? Tonight, while you're standing here, believe in God. I know God has answered prayer tonight. I know that He has. Let's take this wonderful message to all the world. Folks, don't be discouraged. Don't be cast down. Don't be despondent. You don't have to be like that. Enjoy your salvation. Enjoy your liberty. You say, but oh, Brother Pike, I just feel something's happened to me and I can't do it. Don't even think like that. You say, but what's happened to me? Them thoughts that you're thinking, that's all that's ever happened to you. That's all that ever happened to you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. How do you think tonight? Oh, I think he's wonderful, don't you? I think he done what he said. I think his word is true. I think everything he promised, he did it. I think I'm in heaven. The Bible said, rejoice ye that are in heaven. And we're sitting together, standing together in these heavenly places. And God has translated us into the marvelous kingdom of his Son, chosen us out of this world, and hid us in the Spirit in Christ, whom the heavens have received. And I think I'm happy. I think I like this, John. I think it's wonderful to me. I think it's wonderful. Don't you? Hallelujah. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. While you're believing, while you've got your heads bowed, I want to say this and we're going to dismiss. I want you to go home, folks. Filled up and overflowing with the wonderful faith of the confidence that He loves you and that you love Him. And that all that you've ever done that was out of fellowship with Him, that by the grace of God you'll never do it anymore. To go thy way and sin no more.
and accept His wonderful blood of atonement. Say, oh God, I believe. I believe. I believe. I felt somebody over to my right touch God then. Somebody that's been depressed. I felt you break through right then. I felt you break through right then. I believe, oh Lord. I believe. I love you, Jesus. And you love me. And everything's going to be all right, like this song said. Everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Everything's going to be all right. So then, while you've got your minds on the Lord, and while you're believing tonight, I'm going to ask Brother Jay to come up here tonight, Brother Jay White. And I'm going to ask Jay to pray with you tonight. Jay believes in deliverance. He believes in the wonderful Word of God. He believes in the power of God. And while he prays with you tonight, I want you to just let your spirits out. God is the Father of spirits. Let your spirit out tonight. Let it go out to God. And enjoy the wonderful presence of His glory. Let your spirit just drink in the sunshine of His love. And be pure and be holy and be filled with life tonight. As Jay prays, can you do that tonight?